Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Glad to be here for another one.
Yeah, so for today's deep dive, I actually want you to just to imagine something for a second. Imagine you're, looking at the face of someone you love. Or maybe you're just sitting there having your coffee, trying to read the morning news.
Right.
And right in the dead center of your vision, there's this tiny, almost imperceptible blur.
Just a little smudge.
Exactly, just a smudge. It starts incredibly small. But over the years, that blur slowly, relentlessly expands. The periphery of your vision, like the edges of the room, they stay perfectly clear. You can see the doorway, the walls.
But not what you're actually trying to look at.
Right. That central focus, the exact part of your sight that lets you recognize faces or, you know, safely drive a car or just read a book, it progressively fades away into this gray void.
It's terrifying, honestly.
It really is. And this is the daily reality of age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And it's incredibly common, right?
Oh, incredibly. If you look at Western countries, this disease affects about 1 in 5 individuals over the age of 90.
Wow, 1 in 5.
Yeah. It's a massive, life-altering condition for a huge portion of the aging population.
Now, I know there are two main forms of AMD that doctors look for, right?
Right.
The wet form and the dry form.
That's right.
And the wet form is, well, it's very severe, it's aggressive. But we actually have some pretty effective treatments for it these days.
We do, yeah. Medical science has made good strides there.
But the dry form is just a completely different story. It's so much more common. And right now, the therapeutic options for it are severely, almost heartbreakingly limited.
Because it's such a slow, creeping disease.
Exactly. It's characterized by the slow death of the eye's photoreceptor cells, like the literal cells that capture light. And as they die, there's this progressive buildup of toxic retinal debris.
The trash just sort of piles up.
Yeah, this cellular trash forms these microscopic deposits called drusen, and they just slowly choke out your vision.
It's a massive unsolved medical problem.
Right, but what really happens when a naturally occurring genetic mutation, one that's found primarily in a small, isolated corner of the world, acts like a biological shield against this exact kind of blindness.
Which is exactly what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and how could studying this natural human anomaly completely changed the way we treat the most common cause of vision loss in the elderly?
Well, today we celebrate the work of the researchers at the Institute for Molecular Medicine, Finland, Massachusetts General Hospital, the Broad Institute, and their international colleagues who have advanced our understanding of the genetic protections against age-related macular degeneration.
It's such an incredible paper.
It really is. And for this deep dive, we're pulling from a study published in Nature Communications on July 1st, 2025. This was a massive cross-continental effort supervised by Mark J. Daly and Heiko Runz and led by lead authors Mary Pat Reeve and Stephanie Loomis.
Okay, so let's unpack this, because to really appreciate the magnitude of this breakthrough and, you know, why these researchers were looking at this specific population to begin with, we first need to understand why the eye's cellular waste management system breaks down in the first place.
Right, because things don't just fail overnight.
Exactly. You don't just wake up one morning with toxic drusen suddenly filling your eyes. It's the result of this microscopic, decades-long system failure.
Yeah, and to truly understand that failure, we have to look at the foundational genetics, because AMD is highly heritable.
Like, how heritable are we talking?
Very. Studies involving twins and large family cohorts show that up to 71% of a person's susceptibility to AMD is passed down through their DNA.
71%. That is a massive genetic component.
It is. It's deeply hardwired into our biology. So over the years, researchers have scoured the human genome, and they've identified more than 60 different genomic regions linked to the disease.
Okay, 60 regions. That's a lot of noise.
It's a ton of noise. But there is one massive, glaring signal that just stands out among all the rest. It's located around a gene called CFH,
okay.
Yeah. Variation in the single chromosomal region explains nearly 25% of the genetic risk for AMD all by itself.
Wow, 25% from just one tiny region of our DNA.
Yeah.
So let's break down what that region actually does, because I know the CFH gene produces a protein called complement factor H.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sense of what this protein does in the eye, I want you to just think of the complement system, which is essentially your body's ancient immune defense as a fleet of garbage trucks patrolling your retina.
I love this analogy.
Right. Their job is vital. They have to clear out all the cellular debris that naturally builds up as your eyes process harsh light day after day.
It's a messy job.
Yeah, and Factor H, the protein made by this critically important CFH gene, acts as the brakes on those garbage trucks.
It keeps them from going too fast.
Exactly. It keeps them moving at a safe, controlled speed. But if the alternative complement pathway gets overactivated, essentially, if the brakes fail, those trucks speed out of control, they start crashing into the neighborhood.
And that's where the damage happens.
Right. They cause severe inflammation, they damage the healthy tissue, and eventually they leave behind that toxic buildup of drusen.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, the medical community has actually known about this CFH connection for a long time.
Yeah, it's not a new discovery on its own.
Not at all. For years, the prevailing thought among scientists and drug developers has been incredibly straightforward. They figured, well, if a lack of factor H causes the trucks to crash, then simply adding more factor H into the eye should stop the damage.
I mean, it sounds totally logical. Just give the trucks more brakes.
It sounds totally logical, yeah. But doing that safely is incredibly difficult in practice.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because you have to keep the regional levels of factor H within a very narrow, delicate margin for it to be both effective and safe. If you just flood the system with brakes, you can accidentally cause other unintended, dangerous immune cascades.
Oh, I see. So you fix one problem and cause three more.
Exactly. So what this new research team did was step back. They didn't try to force more factor H into the system like everyone else was doing. Instead, they went looking for a different backdoor into the genetics of the eye's immune response.
Okay, but if looking at a normal, globally mixed population is too noisy to find this hidden genetic backdoor because, I mean, you can't just look at a random sampling of millions of people from all over the world. The data is way too complex. Where on earth do you go to find a clean, readable genetic signal?
Well, that brings us to Finland.
Finland.
Specifically, the FinnGen study. This is a massive, world-class biobank cohort based entirely in Finland. For this research, they analyzed data from 12,495 individuals with AMD, and they compared it against a control group of over 461,000 people.
Wow, over 400,000 people. That is a staggering amount of genetic data. But why Finland specifically? Why not like New York or London?
Because Finland is what geneticists call a bottlenecked population.
A bottleneck population.
Yeah. Throughout history, because of their extreme geography, ice ages, and just various historical isolation events, the modern Finnish population actually expanded from a relatively small group of original founders who settled there centuries ago.
Ah.
So because of this historical bottleneck, their overall genetic diversity is reduced compared to, say, heavily mixed global populations like you'd find in New York.
I see. So because the population grew from a much smaller pool of ancestors, certain rare genetic traits became much more prominent there than they are in the rest of the world.
Exactly. It makes it so much easier for researchers to spot incredibly rare genetic variants. A variant that might be practically invisible or completely absent everywhere else in the world might be enriched enough in Finland to actually study its effects on a large scale.
That is so smart. So they have this incredible genetically focused population, but how do they actually find the back door? Because we mentioned earlier that the main CFH gene accounts for 25% of the risk. Doesn't that just drown out everything else around it?
It completely drowns it out. And to find this back door, the researchers had to use advanced techniques called statistical fine mapping and conditional analyses.
Okay, conditional analyses. How does that work?
You can think of it like looking at a massive mountain range. The main CFH gene is the tallest peak in the range. It's so massive that it physically obscures everything behind it.
Right, you literally can't see the smaller mountains because the giant one is blocking the view.
Precisely. So by mathematically conditioning the data, which essentially means they digitally stripped away the known genetic risk factors of that giant CFH mountain, one by one, they were able to look behind it.
Oh, wow. They just erase the mountain.
Basically, they wanted to reveal any hidden, independent genetic signals that were secretly influencing AMD risk from the shadows of that main gene.
And here's where it gets really interesting. Because they didn't just run mathematical models on a computer screen and call it a day.
No, they didn't.
They actually bridged the gap between digital data and living human biology. The researchers physically recalled 399 living biobank participants based on their specific genotypes.
They called them right back into the clinic.
Yeah, they invited them in, took fresh blood samples, and ran those samples through advanced Samaskan proteomics.
Which is such a cool technique.
It is. But actually, let's pause right there for a second, because SomaScan proteomics sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. What exactly is that doing to the blood?
It is an incredible piece of technology. SomaScan is essentially a highly sensitive molecular scanner.
Okay.
Instead of just looking for one or two things in a standard blood test, this technology can count thousands of individual specific proteins in a single tiny drop of blood all at once. In this case, it allowed them to measure over 6,000 circulating proteins simultaneously.
Over 6,000 proteins at the same time. That is wild.
It's revolutionary for this kind of work.
So they weren't just guessing what these genes might be doing based on a computer model. They were physically watching what these rare genetic variants were doing to the actual proteins in living human blood in real time.
Yes. And that deep dive into the Finnish population revealed something profound. Through that mathematical unpeeling of the mountain range, they discovered four major genetic haplotypes.
And haplotypes are just clusters of genetic variations that tend to be inherited together, right?
Exactly. And these four haplotypes convey strong protection from AMD. Now, the tallest peak was still CFH, of course, but two of these newly revealed protective signals pointed directly to a neighboring, highly related gene called CFHR5.
CFHR5.
Oh.
Okay, so we have a new gene on the board.
We do, and specifically, they homed in on a Finnish-enriched frameshift variant within this gene. It's known as CFHR5.
CFHR5's got it.
When they looked at the SomaScan blood results of the people they were called to the clinic, they saw a dramatic, dose-dependent reduction in the protein produced by this gene, a protein called FHR5.
Okay, wait, what do you mean by dose dependent?
It means the effect scales with the genetics. So if a participant had one copy of this genetic variant, say, from one parent, their FHR5 protein levels in their blood were cut entirely in half.
Okay, makes sense.
But if they had two copies, meaning they inherited the rare variant from both parents, their FHR5 levels dropped to absolute zero.
Wait, absolute zero? You're saying there are people walking around in Finland missing an entire circulating protein from their blood and they're just completely fine.
Completely fine, completely healthy. And interestingly, this genetic variant didn't just eliminate FHR5, it also significantly lowered the levels of two other closely related proteins in the blood, known as FHR2 and FHR4.
Okay, let's unpack this because I need to push back here for a second. This feels like a massive contradiction based on what we talked about earlier.
How so?
Well, you mentioned that overactive complement systems, those out-of-control garbage trucks, cause the severe inflammation that destroys the retina in AMD.
That is correct.
But when the researchers ran functional assays on the blood of the people missing this FHR5 protein, the study shows they actually have a higher capacity to activate their complement pathways. Their immune system is more primed, not less.
Yes, that's exactly what the assay showed.
Wait, hold on. If their immune system is more active, shouldn't they be going blind faster? Why doesn't that extra inflammatory activity cause more damage? Why does having an even more active system actually protect them from AMD?
What's fascinating here is how the mechanics of these proteins actually interact. It resolves what looks like a total paradox.
Okay, I'm listening.
You see, the FHR5 protein normally competes directly with our protective friend factor H.
The brakes.
Right, the brakes. They both try to bind to the exact same cellular debris in the eye.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah. Think of FHR5 as a rogue employee who absolutely hates the brakes. When FHR5 binds to the debris, it is essentially slapping a steel boot onto the garbage truck's brakes. It physically blocks factor H from doing its job, which allows the inflammation to ramp up and the trucks to speed out of control.
Ah, I see. So by genetically lowering or completely removing FHR5 from the body,
you're firing the rogue employee.
The competition completely disappears.
Exactly. This likely allows the existing factor H, the normal brakes, to function perfectly without any interference whatsoever. Alternatively, it allows the complement system to aggressively and efficiently clear out the retinal debris very early on in the process.
Before it becomes a problem.
Right. It clears the trash before that debris ever has the chance to fester, turn into toxic drusen, and trigger the chronic long-term inflammation that actually causes AMD. It's like upgrading the garbage truck so they finish their entire route cleanly before the neighborhood traffic even starts.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The system isn't randomly destroying tissue, it's just hyper-efficient at taking out the trash.
Exactly. It's doing its job better than ever.
And what I love about this study is that the researchers didn't just stop at the blood tests. They looked for physical proof in the eye itself to make sure this wasn't just, you know, a chemical theory.
They had to be sure.
Right. Because if you were a doctor looking at the back of one of these Finnish patients' eyes, what would you actually see? Is there a physical difference we can spot on a scan that proves this genetic shield is truly working?
Absolutely. The researchers accessed optical coherence tomography, or OCT retina scans, from the UK Biobank.
And OCT scans, those are the super detailed ones, right?
Yeah, they are incredibly detailed microscopic cross-sections of the living human eye. They let you see the exact layers of the retina.
And what did they find when they looked at them?
They found exactly what you would hope for. Individuals carrying the specific protective genetic variant literally have thicker, healthier photoreceptor layers in their retinas.
Oh. Wow, so it's physically visible.
Yes. The physical microscopic structure of their eye is visibly preserved against the wear and tear of aging, especially when compared to people without the variant.
The structural data really is the ultimate validation. It perfectly aligns the genetic code, the blood proteomics from the SOMAS scan, the functional immune system tests, and the actual macroscopic anatomy of the living eye into one incredibly cohesive narrative of disease protection.
It's brilliant work. It really is.
It is. But, you know, this shifts our focus entirely from biological discovery to real-world application. Because the ultimate goal of the medical community isn't just to marvel at a lucky genetic variant isolated in Finland.
Right, we want to help patients.
Exactly. We want to know how this translates into actual medicine for the millions of people who don't have this mutation. How do we bottle this?
And that is the massive implication of this paper. CFHR5 is now a highly attractive drug target.
Because it's proven safe.
Because these specific Finnish individuals live completely healthy, normal lives without any FHR5 protein in their blood. It strongly suggests that FHR5 is not actually essential for human survival or daily function.
It's nature's own safety test.
Yeah, exactly. It's what scientists call a natural human knockout model. Think of it this way. Nature has basically already run a multi-generational, 100% safe phase 1 clinical trial, proving that humans don't actually need this protein to survive.
Which is a massive green light for pharmaceutical companies.
A huge green light.
So how would a pharmaceutical company actually replicate this in a patient in a clinic? Let's say my grandmother in New York.
Well, they could potentially develop neutralizing antibodies, which are drugs designed to seek out and bind to a specific protein to disable it. Or they could even use RNA-based oligonucleotides.
Okay, let's define that one too. What is an RNA oligonucleotide?
You can think of an RNA oligonucleotide as a synthetic genetic text message.
A text message?
Yeah. You inject it into the patient and it sends a direct message to the body's cell saying, stop manufacturing the FHR5 protein. It halts production at the source.
Oh, that's incredibly clever.
By doing either of these things, a drug could effectively, artificially turn down FHR5 levels in anyone's blood. The drug would mimic this natural Finnish genetic shield, protecting people globally from developing dry AMD.
It is just incredible to think we could artificially replicate a geographical genetic quirk to cure a global disease.
It really is the promise of modern genomics.
But, you know, we do need to be realistic about where the science currently stands, right?
Yes. This raises an important question regarding our immediate next steps, because there are still limitations that the scientific community needs to address before this hits your local pharmacy.
Let's go through them. What are the hurdles?
Well, for one, the recall study, while highly innovative, was relatively small at 399 people.
Right.
And more importantly, they were not able to find any living participants who both had a diagnosis of AMD and were homozygous for the variant.
Meaning having two copies of the mutation.
Exactly. They couldn't find anyone to sample who fit both criteria. That leaves a small gap in the clinical data.
Right. They couldn't study the exact intersection of the disease and the double mutation because it is just so incredibly rare to find someone who fits both categories at the same time.
Exactly. Furthermore, the exact post-genetic mechanism of how FHR5, FHR2, and FHR4 interact with each other in the blood is incredibly complex. We know they drop together, but the exact biochemical choreography is still not fully mapped out.
And there's a clinical trial question too, right?
Yep.
Because if we create a drug that lowers FHR5, we don't know yet if it can treat existing late-stage AMD to stop it from getting worse.
That's a huge unknown, or if it only works as a prophylactic.
Right. It might only work as an early preventative measure, something given to people in their 50s or 60s before they ever start losing their vision.
Rather than a cure for someone who has already lost significant sight, we need rigorous clinical trials to answer that.
So what does this all mean? If we boil this entire deep dive down into a few sentences, genetic loss of function in the CFHR5 gene strongly protects against age-related macular degeneration.
Right.
It does this by drastically reducing FHR5 protein levels, which essentially fires the rogue employee, gets out of the way of the body's natural breaks, and boosts the eye's capacity to cleanly and safely clear out cellular debris before it causes damage.
Beautifully summarized.
And this naturally occurring genetic shield provides a highly promising, chemically de-risk therapeutic target for a disease that currently causes untreatable vision loss in millions of people worldwide.
It's a profound leap forward in genomic medicine, and it really leaves us with something to think about. What does this mean for the future of using isolated population biobanks to discover localized genetic cures for global diseases?
That's the real question.
Right. How many other biological shields are out there right now, hiding silently the DNA of a small remote community, just waiting to be mathematically uncovered and turned into the medical breakthroughs of tomorrow?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
The future in sight.